Welcome, welcome, welcome to the mystical kingdom of this universe. Thank you for attending and hearing this episode. How are you guys doing, my fellow mystics, the builders, the architects, the alchemists, the travelers, the seekers of the truth, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the discernment, the understanding, the revelations of this knowledge and information that would set us free so we should not perish from lack of knowledge. It is your host, Mr. Alchemist, Mr. Raise Your Frequency Up, Mr. No Real Estate Investor Left Behind, coming to you down with this episode of the day. Hopefully you guys enjoy it and get some great info out of it. Let's dive in.
The hieroglyphics tell us the story of two visionaries, outcasts, not of this world. They led a band of ragtag followers carrying everything they had, pursued by forces of evil. The symbols show us they reached their destination, but what happens inside is a mystery.
As C.S. Lewis said, hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. People look at their past to decide who they are. People look at their past to decide who they can be. But the problem is, oftentimes, people mistake difficulties, suffering, pain, for being bad, being less than, being broken, and it erodes their sense of self-esteem. It erodes their sense of self-worth. But nothing could be more opposite from the truth, because in reality, no matter what you've gone through, no matter how hard it was, all of it was shaping you into the person that you can become. The hardships, the difficulties, the pain, the suffering, all of that makes you tougher. It is literally in the difficulties that you begin to find just how much you're capable of. It's in the suffering that you find out how resilient you are. It's in the pain that you can rise up and get tough. And all of that is going to serve you as you move forward, but you have to know how to frame it. You have to know how to think about it. You have to know that whatever you've been through, that all of it is an opportunity to learn. All of it is an opportunity to grow. All of it is an opportunity to get better, but you have to use it to shape yourself. You have to lean into it. You have to know that the pain and the suffering, all of it is serving you. But if you're telling yourself a story that diminishes you, if you're telling yourself a story that bad things have happened to me, or I've done bad things and that makes me a bad person, then none of it is going to help you. And you're always going to move backwards. And it's going to be this stress and this pressure that's pushing you backwards. Instead, if you could put it behind you, said it pushes you forward, it propels you to be more, then no matter what's happened to you, you can become something truly extraordinary. And as David Livingstone said, I'll go anywhere, provided it be forward. So even when you're making mistakes, even when you're falling down, if in that you can see that it's an opportunity, it's a lesson, it's something that you've learned, even when you're running and you stumble and you trip and you scrape yourself all across the pavement, you're still moving forward. As long as you get back up, dust yourself off, and keep going, it doesn't matter that you fell. It doesn't matter that you embarrassed yourself. It doesn't matter that you made a mistake or that you look stupid. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is, how do you think about it? Do you let it be something that moves you backwards? Or do you recognize at least it was momentum, at least you were going, at least you tried, at least you were putting your energy into something, at least you were willing to take a risk? And that's where most people fail. They're never willing to put themselves out there because they don't see the momentum. They don't see the forward movement. They only see the failure. It really is that easy. And I know that you've heard this 1,000 times, and I know that people are telling you all the time that failure is a part of the learning process. But so is the voice that says you're a fuck up. So is the voice that tells you that you're unworthy. But it's up to you to decide to ignore that voice. It's up to you to prove that voice wrong. It's up to you to love yourself. And yes, I know that's easier said than done. And yes, I know each and every one of us has to do things to be worthy of loving ourselves. We have to take that leap of faith. We have to be willing to look at our inadequacies. We have to be willing to get up and do ourselves a service. We have to be willing to serve ourselves. and you do owe yourself that, and you do have to take action, and you do have to be proactive. But if you do that, you don't need extraordinary accomplishments. You just need to know that you're trying. You need to know that when you fall, you're going to get back up. You need to know that you'll keep pushing forward. You need to know that you won't give up, even if you've given up in the past. And once you know that about yourself, once you know that every day is a day, an opportunity to reinvent yourself, that's all you need to believe in. That's all you need to build that self-worth, is to tell yourself you're going to do something better today than you did yesterday. That's it. It doesn't need to be grand. It doesn't need to be extraordinary. It simply needs to be a commitment to yourself. If you commit to yourself, if you commit to love yourself, despite everything that's happened to you, despite everything you've done, your life can be beautiful, but it starts with a decision to move forward. To me, the reason that people say that knowledge is power is for one simple reason. As you accumulate it, it gives you the ability to do more. You literally become capable of more. You're able to bring knowledge into your life to literally transform what you're able to manifest in the world. And at the end of the day, the very definition of power for me is the ability to close your eyes and imagine a world and then open them and make that world come true. But the thing that holds people back is their own ego. And as Epictetus said, one cannot learn what they think they already know. And that's the danger. That's how people get themselves into trouble. It feels so good to know something. It feels like as you're collecting this information and becoming more powerful, you just want to focus on that. You want to sink into that feeling. You want to see yourself in the mirror as somebody capable, of somebody who's capable of more today than they were yesterday. And in that truth, because you are. But in that truth is a trap. And the trap is to begin to feel that you know something, to think of yourself as a master. That's why, as Socrates said, the only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. Because that's how you're going to get really powerful. That's how you're going to open yourself up to that knowledge, to bring it into your world. And even as you grow more powerful, even as you grow more capable, you're always looking for the ways that you're wrong. You're always looking for that next piece of information. You are always focused on how you can get better. And you really open yourself with a humility that most people cannot bring into their world. They cannot accept any vision of themselves as anything other than a master. But the master is the one who's trapped. The master is the one who calcifies. The master is the one so brittle they break. But the student, the student is always willing to learn. The student is looking for that opportunity. The student is trying to be around people that know more than they know so that they can learn, so that they can become more powerful, so that they can close their eyes, imagine a world, and then open their eyes and make that world come true. And at the end of the day, that should be the sole aim of your life, is to have something that you want to bring to this world, that you are going to be relentless about acquiring the skills that are going to allow you to do that. And the only way that you're going to be able to get there is to drop your ego and recognize there's power in knowing nothing when your pursuit is to learn everything. I'm convinced that while virtually everyone you're ever going to meet, they will tell you that they want to do something great with their life. They'll tell you that they've got big dreams, they've got plans, and they're going to make it happen. But they can't take criticism. They're not willing to look at what they're doing wrong. They're not willing to admit that everything is their fault. But it's just a frame of reference. And if they would change that frame of reference, it would change everything. And as Tim Grover said, the only difference between feedback and criticism is how you hear it. Understanding the brain, understanding how we process data, understanding the way that ideas get into your mind and cause a chain reaction of emotions If you can't figure that out and rise above it and not become a victim of your emotions, not become a victim to people saying something that knock you off your confidence, that make you feel insecure, that actually cripple your ability to perform because of how you have decided to hear something. And that moment of awakening, that breakthrough, that is the realization that you decide what to focus on. You decide what to hear and what to take away from something. Somebody can assail you. They can attack you. They can victimize you. But it's a choice as to whether or not you play the victim. As Winston Churchill said, criticism may not be agreeable, but it's necessary. It fulfills the same function as pain in the human body. It calls attention to an unhealthy state of things. In the pursuit of greatness, people are still trying to avoid pain. If you really want to do something, if you really want to become somebody, then you've got to run headlong into pain. You've got to be looking for those things that make you suffer. You've got to seek out the pain. You've got to seek out the things that make you uncomfortable. You've got to want to hit that difficulty, because it is in those moments, it is in that bit of suffering, it is in seeing what you are not good at that is going to allow you to become great. And if you have to let it fill you with rage, to really stand in anguish in order to force yourself to move, then stand in it. Do whatever you need to do in order to reach your goals. And if that's the motivation that you need, then embrace it and chase it. As Tony Robbins said, the purpose of pain is to move us into action. It's not to make us suffer. So in that anguish, in the excruciating pain, find no suffering. See the joy in it. Welcome it like an old friend. And the day that you can welcome your pain like an old friend, because you know, like a friend, it is taking you where you need to go. It is spurring you into action. It is pushing you to become something. And the process of rebirth, my friends, hurts. But whether you choose to suffer or not is your choice. Because remember Tim's words. The only difference between feedback and criticism is how you hear it. The only difference between pain and suffering is how you frame it. So it's your choice. It's up to you how you're going to move forward. But never for one fucking second forget that it's a choice. As Nelson Mandela said, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world. Wherever you are right now listening to this, I want you to burn that into your mind. The most powerful weapon that you're going to have at your disposal isn't a gun, it isn't a sword, it isn't a bomb. The most powerful weapon you will ever have at your disposal, if you really want to make change, is knowledge. It doesn't mean going to school. It can be school, it can be books, it can be a mentor, it can be somebody else's failure, it can be your own failure. But whatever it is, to always be learning, to be learning something today, knowing that that's an investment. And as Robert Louis Stevenson said, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but rather by the seeds you plant. And that's what knowledge is. That's what the learning process is you're learning something today that you may not even understand how it's going to be valuable. But one day, that piece of knowledge is going to come to your aid. One day, that thing that you learned is going to be something that you're going to lean on. One day, that thing that you've worked your ass off to understand better than anybody else in the world, it's going to help you change the world. But you have to be doing it now. You have to be learning with an obsession. You have to understand that ideas in equal ideas out, and that you have to chase that knowledge down, that it is a relentless pursuit, and that like you would build an armada, like you would create a stockpile of weapons, you must create a stockpile of knowledge. You must learn and learn and learn, and you must hold yourself accountable every day to planting those seeds, to getting better, to learning more, to understanding things more broadly. When you do that, there will be nothing that won't be unlocked to you. That's what I want you guys to understand. It doesn't matter where you are now. It doesn't matter where you started, your circumstances, the money, the people that you know, none of it matters. What matters is how much are you willing to learn? How good are you willing to get? How much knowledge are you willing to soak in? Because that will become your weapon. That will be how you rise up, and that will be the thing that will protect you when you need it most. Hard I worked to achieve my mastery, it wouldn't seem so wonderful after all. And that's the thing about getting great. That's the thing about being an artist of such caliber that you're remembered for hundreds of years after your death. It is back-breaking work. It is a blinding amount of effort. It isn't about natural talent. That myth that some people are born with something that we celebrate so much is just that. A myth. You're born a lump of flesh. You can't hold your own head up. You may have predispositions, but that is a long way from actually crafting your ability into the point where it looks like magic. And that's the beauty of artistry, isn't it? That it's so unbelievable that you're more willing to believe that it was God-given, that they were anointed with it, than that they just worked their ass off. But the truth is, every one of the greats, no matter how much natural talent they were born with, they're remembered because they worked. They are remembered because they did so much work. Because in that work is hardship. In that work is difficulty. In that work is unbearable adversity. But it's in that adversity that the magic happens. And as Victor Hugo said, adversity makes men. Prosperity makes monsters. So I know right now you wish you'd been born with some talent. You wish that all those dreams that you had, they were yours for the taking, that you didn't have to put blood, sweat, and tears into it, that somebody would hand you at least something in the beginning, that they would give you some start, some spark. That's where the monster's created. If you really want to get hard, if you really want to get tough, if you want to get great, if you want to be unfucking touchable because no one can bend or break your vision of yourself, then you have to suffer. That's the way of the world. And as Florence Nightingale said, I attribute my success to this. I never gave or took any excuse. And that's the secret. At the end of the day, if you know what you want, it's only a question of whether you're willing to pay the price to get there. So ask yourself, are you willing to pay the price? As Albert Einstein said, the world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. The world that we're all living in is our own construction, and I think that's the thing that people are missing. We have literally created this world, and if this world is delusion, if this world is destruction, if this world is filled with more bad than it is good, then that is a process of our thinking. That is a revelation of how our minds work. It is a revelation of what we have built internally. So as Leo Tolstoy said, everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing themselves. If we're actually going to make change in the world, if those things that you have in your mind, the vision of what you want to bring to the world, all of the ills that you want to correct, if you're actually going to correct them, you have to look inward and begin asking, how is this your responsibility? What are the things in your thinking that have helped manifest this world, that have manifested the problems in your own life, and that will, my friends, I promise you, manifest the solutions? And as Stephen Hawking pointed out, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance, it's the illusion of knowledge. We think we know something that we don't. We think we have the answers. We think within us already, right now, are the fundamental building blocks that we're going to need in order to build something new. But the truth is, the only thing that we already have is the willingness to look, the willingness to change, to leverage the things that we have, but we have to build something entirely new. We have to understand that we don't yet know enough, that we are not adequate, that we have to look at ourselves and be willing to stare nakedly at our inadequacies and to adjust them, to fix them, to not hide behind ego, to not pretend or worse, believe that we're already who we need to be. Because the only promise I can make you is you're not yet the person you need to be to execute, to create the change that you want to make. But I can also promise you that you can become that. That if you're willing to do the hard work of looking internally and building something new, if you're willing to tear yourself down, if you're willing to brick by brick disassemble that thing that has been built by accident inside of you and move forward with a new level of intention and build something, an entirely new structure, with your eyes open, with embracing and accepting a lack of knowledge but never ignorance, of not holding on to old ideas but to ask of everything that you choose to believe, does this move me towards my goals or not? And if it does, then you do it. If it does, you believe it even more. But if it doesn't, right then, right there, you drop it. Then you make room for the new. Then you can build what you want to build. Then we'll have the change. As Daniel Pink said, people fail to achieve mastery not because they aren't talented, but because they aren't disciplined. The wonderful news about the human condition is you can get good at anything that you set your mind to. It's just not going to be easy, and it's not going to be fast. But the willingness to put in that work is what's going to separate you from everybody else, and I'm begging you to see yourself right now, today, as average, as no better than anyone else. But I beg you, with more force than I know how to convey with this language, to see yourself as malleable, to see yourself as capable of becoming anything you want to become truly extraordinary, if you can find within yourself the discipline to stick with it long enough. And as Steve Martin said, perseverance is a great substitute for talent. Everybody wants to talk about who's talented. Everybody looks at the person with innate talent as if they have something magical. But to me, it's a gift, it's a handout, it's a freebie, it hasn't been earned. And no matter what it is, it's only the beginning. Even somebody that has talent, even if you get an early win, if you let somebody outwork you, if you let somebody who has more perseverance, more grit than you, then they are going to outperform you on a long enough timeline. The only thing I can guarantee is you will be outworked by somebody unless you pour your heart and soul into getting great. If you don't take days off, if you put yourself into it as if your life depended on it, when you act like that, then you've got a chance to be great. And as Robert Horry said, pressure can bust pipes, but it can also make diamonds. You've got to want that pressure. You've got to want things to be hard. You can't seek out the easy life. You can't just hope and pray that you can uncover inside of you some talent that's laid dormant that you didn't know about that's going to let things be easy for you. Don't want the easy. Want the hard. Want the pressure. Want the thing that's going to turn you into something. Because when it's easy, you don't work for it. When it's easy, you don't push. When it's easy, you get surpassed by the person who has to give it their all, who's prepared to do blood, sweat, and tears in order to become that thing that they want to be so badly because they are so fucking angry that they were never given anything. And with that chip on their shoulder, they're determined to become anything that they set their mind to. So whether you have talent, whether you don't, the only thing that matters is, will you persevere? Will you stick with it long enough to get great? As Thomas Edison said, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is to always try one more time. I know there are going to be a million times in your life where you want to give up, where you absolutely hate the desire to quit. Other than the certainty that you are going to fail, that you are not good enough to push forward. But that is to fundamentally misunderstand the nature of a failure. The nature of a failure is not to tell you who you are. The nature of a failure is to tell you a way that didn't work. It's to inform. It's to educate you. It's to test you. It's to be a gut check to find out if you believe in yourself enough to push forward even when the world seems to be telling you not to. And as Brian Tracy said, attempt the impossible in order to improve your work. Think about that for a second. Attempt the impossible just to get better. To try the things that you know are going to fail. Things that the world is going to tell you simply cannot be. But even if it violates the laws of physics, if there's something in that attempt that you're going to learn, you owe it to yourself. You have a fucking moral obligation to try. Because all of the people that will lie in your wake are the people that didn't try simply because they didn't believe that they could do it. You have to be willing to look at the world. You have to be willing to see things that you yourself think are impossible and try. Because in that you will stretch yourself. You have to be willing to look inward at the state of your current skill set and say, I'm going to play outside of that. I'm not going to play where it's safe. I'm going to play where it hurts. I'm going to play where I feel clumsy. I'm going to play only in the areas that make me feel stupid. Because in that I know that the way that the brain responds is through adaptation. But I have to stress myself. You can't ever lose sight of that. The only way that the human animal adapts is through stress. You have to be willing to break things in order to build something new. So if you want to push the boundaries, you want to see just how far you can go, if you want to succeed at the highest level, if you want to play on a global scale, you have got to be willing to try the impossible, because right now, the things that you need to do are impossible for you. But they won't remain that way forever. And as Aristotle said, pleasure in the job puts perfection in the work. This doesn't have to be a tale of always being terrified. Everybody, myself included, screaming at you, telling you that you need to go do something great. The part they're leaving out is, why the fuck should you care? You should care because it's the greatest joy. You should only listen to this if it's leading you down a path that makes you feel more alive. And that's the point. The point is to get in touch with something that makes you feel great, but not to let yourself starve or be stopped by a fear that you'll fail, by a fear that it can't be done. Have fun. Have the guts to enjoy yourself. Have the guts to go out and attempt something audacious and terrifying, knowing that all along, if you're doing it right, you're gonna have a good time. So all of this, going balls out, trying to prove something to yourself, trying to do something amazing, never lose sight that it's to build a better life. Never lose sight of the fact that you're doing it to create the person that you want to be. Never lose sight of the fact that it should be fun. As J.B.S. Haldane said, the world shall perish not for a lack of wonders, but for a lack of wonder. Everything around you is incredible if you're willing to look at it that way. Everything around you can be taken for granted if that's your perspective. But it really is about the frame that you choose to put around things. I mean, simply being alive is already insane. The odds are so stacked against you, not only just being a human, but being a human at this moment in time. This moment in time where breakthroughs in technology are happening at an unprecedented rate, where breakthroughs in medical science are happening at an unprecedented rate, where our ability to connect with people, to empathize with people all the way around the globe, all of the changes that have happened in technology and telecom and connectivity, health, everything, we're living in the most miraculous time ever. But you have to look at it that way. And as Joseph Campbell said, life is a wonderful, wonderful opera, except that it hurts. So the question is, do you see it as the beautiful opera? Or do you just pay attention to the pain? And at the end of the day, you're going to get what you focus on. They're both true. This is both the most amazing time that's ever happened, ever in recorded history. And yet real things that are terrifying are also happening. But where you put your energy, where you put your attention where you put your focus is going to determine what you see. And that is the most fascinating and the most important thing you have to understand about the way that your mind works. You get what you focus on. If you focus on the things that are bad, they will become real. They will become exaggerated. They will begin to monopolize your thoughts. You'll see them everywhere. It's called the reticular activating system. Your mind is literally designed to pay attention to the things that you notice. Once you notice a certain car, you see it everywhere. Once you notice a certain dog, you see it everywhere. Once you hear a certain name for the first time, suddenly you realize that that name has been all around you this entire time. But now that you're focusing on it, now that you're looking for it, it is everywhere. So whatever you look for, it's going to be everywhere. If you look for the negative, it'll be there. But if you look for the positive, it will overwhelm you. And as Joseph Campbell said, people say what we're all seeking is a meaning for life, but I don't think that's what we're really seeking. I think what we're seeking is the experience of truly being alive. And that's it. That's the juice. Figuring out that thing that makes you come alive. It isn't keeping up with the Joneses. It isn't how much you're getting paid. It isn't anything other than for you. Something very specific. It will be different for everyone, but for you. Find that thing that makes you come alive. Focus on it. Think about it. Put your time and attention there. Shift away from seeing the pain in the opera and instead seeing the wonderment in it all. Seeing the glory that is just everything around you. The opportunities, the fact that you're alive. Once you can see that those basic things that you take for granted, that you can breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, all of that stuff, once you start seeing how miraculous it really is, once you start seeing how we're connected to each other, once you understand that the name of the game isn't wealth, it isn't fame, it isn't ambition or success, it's neurochemistry, it's feeling a certain way, it's finding fulfillment in your life. Once you realize that, you'll understand this is a game of attention. And you entirely control what you focus on. So choose very wisely, my friends, because your life will literally become the summation of the things that you look at. The only credit I will give myself is when other people break and give up and stop, I just don't. The thing that gives you the most energy in life is something that you have no natural inclinations for. Then go learn that. Go get extraordinary. Go become the best of whatever it is you want to be. But go become the best of it and see how the world opens to you.
Motivation?
Watch a top 10 with Believe Nation.
What's up, Believe Nation? It's Evan. My one word is believe, and I believe in you. I believe you have Michael Jordan level talent at something, and I want you to find it, embrace it, and use it to make a difference. Let's get your motivation to a 10 and get you believing in.
Today's lessons from a man went from being in a morbidly obese family, being dead broke, and being unable to pay his bills to building a billion-dollar brand and focusing his efforts on helping people unlock their true potential and pulling them out of the matrix. He's Tom Bilyeu, and here's my take on his top 50 rules for success. Also, if you want to hear what Tom Bilyeu and other successful entrepreneurs have to say about building confidence, check out my 254 Confidence series, where every day for the next 254 days, I will send you a 30-second to 5-minute video for free to help you build unstoppable confidence. Check out the link in the description below.
There's a gap between who people are and what they tell you they want to accomplish. Because in the beginning, I hired everyone.
Right.
Not because I'm super smart and thought, hey, I should. There was no one else,
right?
Like, we had the smallest handful of people ever. And so I started doing the interviewing. As I was doing it, I started realizing, God, these guys tell me they want to do something amazing with their life. And if you just listen, like, wow, yeah, like, I want to be on your team, dude. You're going to do amazing stuff. And then you realize they can't execute on that dream.
So why can't they?
They don't have the mindset yet.
Okay, let's kick it off with rule number one, my personal favorite, believe.
When you launched Quest, there were 1,600 other protein bar companies that launched in 2010.
Flavors or companies, yeah.
Flavors or companies.
Yep.
What gave you the audacious mindset to think that you could compete against all those, plus the 10, 20 years of other nutrition companies out there and beat them?
Yeah, it's...
Without having any experience in this.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a phrase that I play in my own head that I know when I say out loud, 50% of people love it and 50% of people hate me for it, but it's true. So, hey, here we go. I have the arrogance of belief. Mm-hmm. I believe in myself. Now, I believe in one thing about me. I am not the smartest guy. I got a 990 on my SATs. I took it twice. That's my combined score.
Better than me.
That's bad for both of us. I always joke with people, a monkey smearing feces on the test could score higher than I did. Like, it's literally terrible.
Yeah.
But I always believed that I could do whatever I set my mind to, right? So that's the only credit I will give myself is when other people break and give up and stop, I just don't, mm-hmm. right? And it comes down to the story you tell yourself about yourself. And that's the story I tell myself. I was just this last weekend, I was at an entrepreneurial organization and they brought a world-class mountain biker in and said,
well, hello there, my fellow seekers of the truth. How you guys doing today? It's your host, Mr. Alchemist, Mr. Raise Your Frequency Up, Mr. No Real Estate Investor Left Behind. How you guys doing today? I hope you guys are enjoying this episode that we have created for you guys to help you in your growth, in your expansion, in your self-development, in your revelations, in whatever you're doing. Hopefully, we're helping you guys grow much bigger and getting closer to your step. Southern State Management has been doing this for over 28 years. We've been in the self-development, self-growth, better producing, better creating ourselves and developing systems, products, and services to be able to help and maneuver some hurdles around the way. Some of the hurdles are financial wealth, financial literacy, understanding your rights, business ownership, business systems. So these are some of the projects and services that we have through No Real Estate Investor Left Behind and Project Real Estate Alchemy and Project Alchemy. If you guys are interested to want to know more, give us a call, 915-247-8784. Again, that's 915-247-8784. And for every person that gives us a call, we will give you a free savings account. This savings account is established in gold. That's right. Our investment in you and in your self-worth, we're investing it in gold. So give us a call, 915-247-8784. So please share, like, comment. Talk to you guys later. Self-development. Know thyself.